I'm the Diamond Diva, Amy Rose, and you're listening to another wrestling podcast.
It's time for another wrestling podcast. All right, all right, all right. Are you fucking kidding me?
Guys, I got blocked again on Twitter.
I'm your mark of marks.
That's the most reliable source on the interwebs.
The social assassin at your disposal, bitches.
Let me do what I do best and carry your ball, Cooter. Let me carry the ball for you, Cooter.
Okay, carry the ball. I'm just going to do what I do best, make this show good.
You are the peanut butter to my jelly.
No.
And with it's the bread. We're a sandwich.
No. I'm the peanut butter. Man. I make it taste good. You're the fucking celery that nobody wants to eat.
The celery.
Ugh. Okay.
I hate to be the celery.
Even Christine's laughing at that one. Fuck. She never laughs at my jokes. She liked that one.
Who eats celery? Do you just eat celery? Like, hey, I want some celery right now.
That's like an appetizer, celery? Like a little like cocktail dish, like something you just eat. Like just to fucking eat before a meal.
That's white girl shit, man. No.
Yeah. I can't. I'm like a carrot. I'm a carrot.
Christine
guy.
Says it's for anorexic bitches.
You eat that with your wings.
Who eats celery with wings?
I don't even eat celery.
And celery.
I'll give you some celery. Ugh.
Say it five times fast, it becomes a word that doesn't make sense anymore. Celery. How about that celery? Let's name it celery. Why did they name it celery? Now it's really going to blow your mind. Like, well, celery. Celery. Today's show brought to you by the best green celery on the market. You can't make ants on a log without our celery. It doesn't make any sense to me anymore. That and Germany.
Just put that peanut butter in there and stick some raisins in there. Just like they taught you.
All right, all right, all right. That's some celery. I'm Credo, the mark of marks for celery.
What?
It's the show. That's the beginning. Now you got to say you're the favorite asshole.
Oh. And I'm I'm Angry Cooter, bitches. Let's try something new.
And the return of Mike Colone.
I'm here.
You're here.
I just made it. Yeah. I just made it. My attendance record is like a Latino in high school. We barely make it, but we're here.
A for effort this week.
Every time you just made me think of the movie Dangerous Minds and shit.
That's the first thing that came to my mind too. I'm the guy. I don't remember the character's name, but I'm the guy that is eventually gonna get shot and I leave school tomorrow.
Oh, man. How the fuck you gonna save me from my life?
You know when that song, that theme song, Gangsta's Paradise played, you knew there was a fight about to happen.
It's good everybody's back. The fam's back. We're back, guys. Episode 248. Amy Rose will be joining us from Ring of Honor. Guys, if you don't know her, you're going to know her today. She sits down with JB talking a little bit about everything. And then some. So stay tuned for Amy Rose a little bit later. Guys, celery still sounds weird to me, but it's all right.
I can't believe that's the shoot open of the show, too.
It's going to be the greatest open of the show, and you guys are going to love it. You'll love it. Trust me. I'm going to mix some Gangster's Paradise in there and some breaking of some celery like we're eating it. I'm never going to eat celery, by the way. So, guys, like I said, Amy Rose will be here later, but first and foremost, I don't think there's anything else to talk about right this second except for what did they do to Shayna Baszler? Was it too much blood? Too vampire-ish? Was it too... She didn't even need it. She did not even need that. She was good the way she eliminated all those girls or women in the Rumble. But that? Was it too many blood capsules in the mouth, guys? I know we're supposed to suspend our disbelief, but come on. She fucking looked like Morbius.
Oh, yeah.
She's the new Morbius. I don't know. That was a lot, though. No, like, it couldn't have been, like, a little bit. Like, that's a lot. It was dripping out of her mouth.
That was fucking atrocious.
Needed...
I don't know. Here's my thing. I have been very positive on everything that I've seen for the most part from Raw, SmackDown, even 205 Live has been good. NXT, it's starting to worry me, even though I'm still enjoying the product. But this week, there's not much in terms of Raw, especially this, that makes me want to say, ooh, can't wait for next week. What the fuck was that?
I watched it and I'm just in my head, I'm just thinking, Vince, like, he booked this shit. Like, what are you thinking? Like, what are you honestly thinking right now, Vince? This is terrible. It just reminded me of Gangrel. It was just the worst booking. All Shayna needed to do was to go into the ring and just beat the living hell out of Becky. That's all she needed to do.
This is coming from somebody who hated Shayna Baszler. I hate her. I don't care for her. I don't like her. I'm not going to put a poster up of her on my wall. You know what I mean? I'm not buying the action figure. But for what she was doing is great. And I think that Rumble appearance, like I said, was that should have right there been what put her over. But the blood, man, that was not needed. That could have been Paul Heyman. Could it have been?
No, that was all Vince. I don't see Paul Heyman doing that crap.
Man.
I mean, Vince has final say in everything. I know damn well that's not a Paul Heyman thing.
But not only that, it's they always seem like they need to add something. Hopefully it was just a one and done. Like, all right, she bit her on the back of the neck and took a chomp out of her, like fucking Mike Tyson style. Like, I can see it. I kind of get where they were going. I don't think it was necessary, but at the same time, they always seem like they want to add that little extra when they get to the main roster. And I think, dude, that was a complete package that needed no tinkering at all. And that's coming from somebody who despised her. I say it all the time, how much I disliked that woman.
Yeah.
When she was in the Mae Young Classic. Here's the interesting thing. If that's going to be your main event at Mania, Credo, look how pissed off she looked when we saw her in the fucking press box.
You know, you just said it right there, man, because I think that's almost what it feels like. It's like last year was the main event spotlight for Becky, right?
That was it.
And it's almost like, well, with The Fiend this year and the whole Drew McIntyre, Brock thing, I'm happy with. That's like the main event. You know what I mean? That has a better ending, I think, if you will. But I think with that, with the girls, what they just did, it's almost like they're just trying something crazy to see if they can get, you know, kind of put back in that higher tier spotlight for that kind of a match, maybe, or just to, like, maybe that's what they wanted to do with the blood, make it more, I don't know, get people into it, but it was maybe just too much.
That's true.
I was just thinking about that because now it's WrestleMania season, but I don't know, it was just weird. I guess I didn't think she needed it. But what also was not needed is, because before last week, we didn't know what Goldberg was going to be doing at the Super Showdown, and now we know. The Fiend. He's going against The Fiend for the Universal Championship. Goldberg's last match was against Dolph at SummerSlam, was it, or what was it?
Correct.
SummerSlam.
And then before that was the horrible match of him and Taker, right, at the
Correct. Yes.
Oh, no. Yeah, you're right.
Okay, so it's not like he's had, I mean, well, he's trying to redeem himself, I guess, but here we are again, guys, suspending that disbelief because, what is he, 50-something?
Ugh.
I know it's like you're powerful then, but now it's, maybe Fiend's just going to kill him like every other, you know, or put him out like every other main event guy, but I don't know. Is this? Can they go long with this match? I don't think this is gonna be, an Iron Man match, but it'd be like us. It's
gonna be a terrible match.
It can only end in two ways: he wins it, or he loses it, or does he step away from this? Because this is not leading into a WrestleMania anything. I hope, but
maybe, is this potentially a way to build the Fiend even more, where he just. What if Goldberg goes in there and does a 2-minute job? What if? Because, all right, it's not like you're going to use Goldberg for a long-term program, or maybe they are, but the point I want to make is, Did the writing spike up with Goldberg with that announcement, him being there? Probably. And I'm sure, you know, people are curious. I'm curious. I'm pretty sure they'll fuck it up. But if they send Goldberg over there to do a two-minute job, I'm okay with it.
Did anybody check Matt Riddle's Twitter? Goldberg.
Oh, announced. No.
Because no, I forgot to do that. No, I'm asking if anybody has checked Matt Riddle's Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've been out of the Twitter game for a while. And I'm sure, now that I think about it, once this announcement of Goldberg happened, I'm sure Matt Riddle went rogue again on Twitter.
Yep.
And just went nuts.
That's so funny.
I'm just not a fan of this match. I would have been, honestly, me personally, and I know everyone's going to have a different opinion, I would have been fine with what I was expecting and what I've heard, which was Roman versus Goldberg, spear versus spear. I would have been fine with that. But now you have Goldberg coming in, getting a universal title match. I mean, is Goldberg going to let the Fiend squash him?
Yes.
You think he will?
I think he has to at this point in his career. I don't think he'll want to, but I think he will.
Because if he has a 50-50 match with Goldberg, my believability for the Fiend is just thrown out the window. It can't be a 50-50 match. It can't.
Yeah.
I could see him trying to get a little offense in at the beginning of the match and then like legitimately getting caught right in the mandible claw. Just take him out.
Yeah.
Because that's a hell of a way to build that character up for WrestleMania. And then who the fuck do you put up against him? I think it's
Roman. I could see Goldberg running for the spear and running right into a mandible claw.
Yep. Or like, well, even
that would be a great one. Yes.
He does kick out really fast, so even just like spearing him and just kicking out a bunch and then, you know, that final one, putting the mandible claw on. But Goldberg, is it just because nobody else wants to go back to Saudi Arabia? Because they got to be back for SmackDown the next night, which John Cena returns, guys, because John Cena's going to make an announcement about something. I'm sure it's about WrestleMania. What do you think Mr. John Cena's going to be doing? Because that's the night right after the Super Showdown. So we got SmackDown, and will the plane make it back in time?
I know his announcement. I know what it's going to be.
Mike exclusive, AWP exclusive. What is it?
He's going to go out there and he's going to announce to the world that Nikki's baby's not his.
Oh my God. If they did that, I'd be a Cena fan for life. Could you imagine?
That's all he's going to do. He's just going to go out there and just let everybody. It's a slow burn. He's going to build it up and he's just going to let everyone know that Nikki's child is not mine, and he's going to drop the mic and leave. That'd be great. You got my attention, John.
I will pay for WrestleMania tickets just to see that unfold there, but the return of John Cena.
Wait. So I'm on Riddle's Twitter. Jesus Christ. WWE on Fox tweets, who's next at Goldberg's next opponent should be? And Riddle replies, I'm not going to do what sources are saying I'm not supposed to. Or am I? What are sources saying? There's no other Goldberg mentions that I see in the timeline unless something was deleted.
That's funny. Coming up in a little bit, Amy Rose from Ring of Honor, but some Ring of Honor news going on this week, guys. They are going to be taking the Women of Honor Championship and turning it into the Women's World Championship, so making some changes out there for Ring of Honor, changing that around.
Rebranding?
Yeah, just rebranding it, so no Women of Honor, it's just going to be the Women's World Championship on there now, so a true women's division, I guess, where, I don't know, Women of Honor, I thought, it sounded like a cool women's division. I didn't think you needed to change that, but whatever, I mean, and that Women's Championship.
Yeah, because now I thought it sounded better the way it was before. I liked how TNA referred to the ladies as the knockouts, you know.
Yeah,
WWE was using Divas at the time. Yeah, it was like your own spin on it.
Divas,
now everybody just has a women's champion. Oh.
Yeah, change. Well, there are a lot of changes going on, I guess, too, with Marty Scurll being some behind the booking now. So, maybe it's just in that rebuilding phase. But one of the guys, too, I read about, you guys, I think, Mike, you're more familiar with, Jeff Cobb. He's announced for the match on AEW Dynamite. Was that on this week, or what's he doing?
He actually was this past Wednesday on AEW Dynamite. He joined the Inner Circle.
The Inner Circle? How many people are in the Inner Circle? I've got to catch up to that.
I think there's now six.
Well, if you heard the AWP chat room on Patreon, you would have understood there could have been seven in the Inner Circle. But nobody else will know where that reference is coming from. I just want to say that's another plug for Patreon, which, guys, I think it's going to be the week. So stay tuned to Google for that one. I guarantee it's going to happen this week.
You're mean. You're a bad motherfucker. Grito.
Hey, we got to pay the bills. We got to get some.
I know.
I gotta get some dirt out. I gotta get some dirt out. But that's what's
good about
it.
We're all losing our jobs if somebody gets that tier.
You could be a part of the $1 million man club tier or whatever it will be. But
that's right.
But I'm saying,
after you sign a non-disclosure agreement, of course.
NDA, yeah, NDA guys. So Ring of Honor. Well, you know, what do you think? What else about Jeff Cobb too? I've always heard about him. I've always heard him around like the Northeast. Different indie shows out here, but I haven't really truly watched a lot of Cobb matches, Cobb Salad. We're talking about that. That was from another Curb Your Enthusiasm, Cooter. Sorry, the Cobb Salad.
I get the reference, Creed. I believe. I'm a Curb Your Enthusiasm fucking, yes.
You ever do that? Just explain the reference to somebody who already knows the reference and...
Don't do that, Creed. And this is why you don't bring divorced couples to weddings, okay?
Real quick, Cooter, you're going to understand this, and I'll get back to Jeff Cobb in a second. But since we're talking about Curb Your Enthusiasm, Cooter, you know Johnny, my cousin, Sexy
yes.
Slim. Okay,
Sexy Slim.
Mario made the comparison that when you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm, you see Leon, it's automatically Johnny. That's what you
Yes.
Mean.
Oh, yes.
That's the real life Johnny. No, that's exactly who it is. Back to Jeff Cobb. Jeff Cobb is a monster. He is a machine in the ring. I mean, that guy, for a big man, puts on some clinics in the fucking wrestling ring. Suplex, suplex, suplex. I mean, he's up there like a Taz. Anybody else that has a Kurt Angle. I believe Jeff Cobb was an Olympic wrestler. I don't know if he medaled. I know he was an Olympic wrestler. Trying to think if he did medal. I'll have to look that up later. Guy's an incredible athlete, and I think for AEW, it's a huge signing. He's not well known by the casual fans, but that's okay because he's just going to build his reputation because he's under a bigger platform to show how good he is, and he's going to blow up soon. I'm just not into the fact of him being in the Inner Circle. That's just me. I don't know how you guys feel. Yeah. But I think Jeff Cobb should have been on his own rather than being the second muscle of the Inner Circle. I just don't think it works.
Sure. Too many people going in that thing already, man. It's starting to turn into NWO. It's going to break out into the LWO and whatever else WOs. But all right. Cooter, there's also some big news going on. Nyla Rose becomes your AEW Women's Champion.
Good job for her. I mean, AEW wants to be different. Like you said, Credo, AEW wants to be different. They decided to try something new. I was reading all the backlash on Twitter, man, and these are wrestling fans that really a lot to say. I mean...
Cooter, what are you laughing at? What are you reading? He's reading something over there.
Shut up, man. I'm just reading the comments. There's some mean fuckers, man. Some of these comments, like, all right, I have a dark sense of humor, but I can't read any of these out loud.
Cooter knows my sense of humor. I just, you know, I can't say anything right now that's going to get me in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. It's no holds barred is the way I've always felt. As long as your intent was always to be funny, but these are just fucking mean.
With those comments, it reminded me that, you know, maybe some wrestling fans aren't ready for it. I know it's different. I don't know. There's a lot of backlash about that going on, so I don't really know what else to say about it.
It doesn't bother me. I don't care. It's like, you are who you are. You want to be who you want to be. But let's be honest. When it comes to in-ring performance, she's pretty talented. I got to give it to her. Yeah. She works stiff. She's a big woman. She knows how she knows what she's doing. You know, a lot of awesome Kong has rubbed off on her, you know, helped show her the ropes, I'm sure. And dude, she's a believable beast of a woman. And I mean that respectfully. So, but Jesus, oh, there's some mean fuckers.
That's what I'm saying, man. Public comments. And I'm trying to like just beat around the bush with what these people are doing, and we can't really say it. And it's like we're not saying anything bad against it. It's just it's hard to talk about. That's what we're trying to get to.
I want to get in trouble.
It is.
Yeah, Cooter stole the words right out of my mouth. I mean, at the end of the day, like, things are said here, things are said there. Like, we kind of joke amongst ourselves, but in all reality, I mean, Nyla Rose goes out there, she works, she puts on matches. I personally think she's more talented in the ring than the last women's champion. Riho, whatever she is.
And I think that's the point too, right there, Mike. I don't want to cut you off, but I want to state it right there is that they screwed up when they first made it. It should have went right on her the first time because she was more over with their fans in the beginning than like how they put it on the other girl who wasn't really accustomed to any of the fans here. Maybe I mean I don't watch her matches. I don't look up Riho, whatever. I don't look up her stuff to where I'm just seeing her for the first time now. So. Granted, with Nyla, maybe she may had more of an indie fan base to where now, and I don't know. It was almost like they screwed up. It should have gave her the first chance, but then do you think it would have been more backlash, too? You're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't.
I tell you what, that whole women's division is a fucking disaster. It really is. You have Britt Baker, who could have been the hottest female babyface and probably top three in all of professional wrestling, and you got her doing jobs every week only to turn her heel. For what reason? To do more jobs. I don't get it. Is this woman in the doghouse?
I think Britt Baker should be one of the top talents in that division.
Here's a great idea. Let's get James Ellsworth to fucking beat Chris Jericho for the AEW world title. That'll be real different.
That'll be
too soon, Kido?
Too soon.
Maybe well, Soul Train Jones can come in.
Soul Train, man. My Soul Train. Well, you know, it looks like it's the end of Matt Hardy's latest run in the WWE. It was kind of weird how they wrote him off to where he came out and said that he had a history with Edge, too. And he legit slept with Lita or stole Lita from Matt Hardy, right? That was like a real life thing too, right? What was that whole?
Oh yeah.
Like for him to like be written, like Matt Hardy came back when he was so huge, and they wouldn't put on the broken character, and that was like, how do you turn away a gold mine like that? Like that could have been making a lot of merch and this and that, and it's like WWE creative, man, they got to get your head out of your asses sometimes because that was a golden gimmick, and for a guy at his age and this part of his career, you know, having that broken character that it was working, you know, all they had to do was take it and then make it bigger. And I know there was a whole legal dispute in the beginning, but they started calling him Woken Matt or whatever, but still, it's like that wore off and they stored him on the shelf and now he's leaving poor Matt Hardy. But it was just a weird way to write him off. That's what I was trying to get to the way it was just getting it with Edge and whatnot, but no more Matt Hardy. And they think he's going to be like that leader now on AEW, people were saying, from the interwebs, Mike. I'm going to throw that out there for you.
That's what I heard, too. He's going to, apparently he is the leader of the Dark Order.
The Dark Order.
Well, guys, regardless of what kind of week you had or anybody else had, we have on Ring of Honor Superstar Talking with JB, Amy Rose.
All right, everybody, welcome to another wrestling podcast. It's me, JB, and as always, we scour the world for all of the best talent. Today is nothing different. This person is a relative newcomer to Ring of Honor, but she is the Diamond Diva, and she may be the most dangerous mind in the business today. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Miss Amy Rose.
Hey guys, thank you so much for having me.
So it's crazy. We saw, you know, we follow everybody on social media. That's what you do these days. But it's really cool that you celebrated kind of a milestone in your career last year. It's been 5 years since you, a little over 5 years now, obviously, since you started and working your first wrestling match. So you got signed to Ring of Honor last year. So can you tell us a little bit of like what that process was like, how you kind of broke into the business, and maybe even why you broke into the business?
Yeah, definitely. I think for me, it was something I always enjoyed as a kid. I saw a lot of the female wrestlers growing up, and I just thought they were amazing. I thought they were the most beautiful women I've ever seen, and I thought they were cool because they were getting in there and kicking ass. So for me, it was just it was always a dream of mine, and I always had it in the back of my head. I think growing up, I kind of put it on the back burner because I thought, you know, that's not very realistic. And I remember I was at a comic book convention, and they happened to have a wrestling show where the wrestlers were dressed up in cosplay and doing different stuff. And I was watching the show, and it just sparked something in me. I saw the women that were performing, and I said, all right, if these girls can go out there and do this, then I definitely can do this. And next thing I knew, I was looking up local promotions and trying to get my foot in the door. So that's how I got the start. That's what put me through the door. And my first show ever, I worked as a backstage interviewer. And just little by little going through there. So following the process, eventually just watching people perform, I saw the people that stood out to me the most all happened to come from the same place. So I'm based out of Florida. I was from Miami. And all the people that stood out to me had been trained at Team 3D Academy. And so I reached out to them and I said, hey, I'm interested in learning about wrestling. Originally, I didn't think I'd actually perform in the ring. I just thought maybe be a manager, valet. And so when I had first signed up for the school, that was my goal. That was what I was focused on. But after being there and speaking with Yvonne and Bella, they told me, no, you have what it takes. You definitely need to get in that ring and start working. So
that's incredible. Now
here we are. And
now you mentioned that, you know, you watched growing up and the women that were wrestling were, you know, you were big fans of them. Was there somebody that stood out more than someone else, like someone that you really, really enjoyed watching?
I think for me, I was really a big fan of Lita. I think I was actually such a big fan of Lita and the Hardy Boys. I wanted to be the fourth member. I remember dreaming about that and wanting to be part of Team Extreme. So for me, definitely Lita. And then also the divas that stood out to me from back then that I really admired were the girls that weren't necessarily the best wrestlers in most people's minds, but I thought they were amazing, were like Tori Wilson, Stacey Keibler. I thought they were absolutely gorgeous, and I thought it was cool that they were even getting in there and doing anything. So
now
I'd say for sure those would be like my top.
Okay, awesome. That's a great group of ladies there. Now you started training at Team 3D. It's well documented that those are two of the best wrestlers of all time in Bully Ray and D-Von. But was there something that you started doing when you were training that you didn't really expect, like that would be such a part of training? Like, was there anything that came to you naturally and anything that maybe was difficult for you to learn?
I'd say what was difficult for me was the physicality. I don't come from like a sport background or anything of that nature. So I definitely took some time to get in the groove of things and learn it. But with enough dedication, I was able to. But for sure, I'd say the conditioning part of it, people don't realize it's a lot of conditioning that goes into wrestling training. And especially Team 3D Academy, that's something that they focus on extremely hard. That's why they always go by strongest the longest, because when we get in the ring, our cardio is on point. We can go. We can keep going.
Now, you are a full-time member of Ring of Honor now, which is just incredible. a lot of people, Ring of Honor was in the news a lot last year, let's just be honest about it. And it looks like there's a real big kind of resurgence in Ring of Honor. So what's it meant to you to actually be a part of Ring of Honor? And do you think that Ring of Honor is the best fit for you right now?
I think for me personally, I've been around Ring of Honor for several years now. I got my start with them being a timekeeper and just helping out, doing ring crew, basically working my way up through the ranks. So there, you know, doing all that, eventually I got to start training at the Ring of Honor dojo. And the level of work that I've put in, the amount of time and effort that they've given me to make me a better performer, to make me a better wrestler, I'll forever be grateful for that. And to be part of that roster is something I'm extremely proud of. So regardless of any bad press, regardless of anything that's been said, I've never been more happy. And I think it's a perfect fit for me. I'm very happy where I am. We have a lot of really exciting things coming up, a lot of big shows. And personally, I'm super excited to be part of Los Ingobernables. So it's been amazing. It's been super exciting.
Well, let's talk about LFI real quick. Obviously, you are you kind of created this awesome faction, and it's taking over Ring of Honor right now. How important was it for you to be with this faction and kind of help these people any way that you can?
For me, it was exciting because, you know, Dragon Lee was fairly new to our company. Roosh, for me, stood out 100% from day one. He's a star. And I definitely saw something in him. And obviously, working with Kenny, he saw something in me. And we teamed up. We had a vision. We knew what we wanted to make happen. And I worked some magic. And here we are. We were able to form a very powerful group. A group that, you know, we just got our start at the last show. We had our first match. Walked out of there victorious, and we're ready to make 2020 the year of La Facción Ingobernable.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Kenny King. Obviously, one of the best going right now today, but there's a lot of questions out there as to the nature of your relationship with Kenny. Can you speak on that? Is it strictly professional right now?
It is strictly professional. This is a business relationship. But we have a lot of respect for each other, and we're ready to make things happen this year.
Now, being right now a manager, kind of the brains of the operation, we've seen what you can do so far. We know that big things are in the future, but will 2020 be the year of maybe your in-ring debut?
I definitely believe so. I've been working extremely hard to make my debut for Women of Honor. I've been blessed to have a couple matches now for Future of Honor, and I'll actually be performing at the next Future of Honor show right before our next one. It's going to be on February 8th, Saturday at the MCW Arena. So if you guys are in town, I would love for people to come out and check that out. It's going to be an opportunity to see what I can do in the ring. And prove to everybody that I am able to compete and that I'm going to show everyone what I can do for Women of Honor in 2020.
Awesome. Well, Ring of Honor, as you mentioned, has some amazing shows coming up. There's the 18th anniversary show, Friday, March 13th, live in Las Vegas, Nevada. But then also, it was just announced that there's going to be the past versus present event, Saturday, March 14th, Ring of Honor. Now, when you think of Ring of Honor and we think of the past, we know that some of the best wrestlers today have passed through Ring of Honor. We're talking your Daniel Bryans, your AJ Styles, the Briscoes. We're talking Eddie Edwards. We're talking just amazing, amazing talent. So if you got to pick someone from Ring of Honor's past, maybe let's say if you could pick three people from Ring of Honor's past to go one-on-one with LFI, who would you choose?
I think if we could have anybody, it would be amazing. Obviously, CM Punk would be a huge, huge one to bring in. You mentioned Daniel Bryan, I think would also be really cool. and I think Samoa Joe. I think those three versus LSI would be an insane match.
Awesome. Well, we know, as we spoke before, social media, it plays a huge part in the professional wrestling business today. So if people are listening to this right now and they want to find out more about Amy Rose, what's the best way to get in contact with you?
I think the best way to get in contact with me would be through Instagram or Twitter, RumbleBunny777. Please follow me, check me out, see my career. You're going to see some exciting things this year, so for sure, hit that follow button.
Awesome. So on your social media, and Twitter specifically, it says that you are a gamer girl. So we find this too nowadays, that a lot of wrestlers are playing games, you know, up, up, down, down. Xavier Woods' channel's got, you know, millions of views and followers. What kind of gamer are you? What kind of systems do you have? And maybe what are some of your favorite games?
So for me personally, right now I play a lot on the Nintendo Switch. I grew up playing Pokemon as a kid. It was the first game that I didn't have to share with my older brother. So it definitely holds a special place in my heart. And something that I still play today, several years later. So for sure, Pokemon is something I play a lot. So right now I'm playing Pokemon Shield, which is the newest version. Apart from that, I have my PS4. So I do like a lot of like role-playing, like Final Fantasy type games. Kingdom Hearts is another one that I really enjoy a lot. And then outside of those games, I'd say I'm a really big fan of Tekken. I love Tekken. And I can kick somebody's ass in some Tekken. So
That's awesome. Awesome. So it also says that music is your boyfriend. So what kind of music do you like? And is there, you know, obviously there's music for every occasion, but if you're really trying to pump yourself up and get going, what's the kind of your go-to music that you listen to?
I think my taste in music is very particular. I do enjoy a lot of female-fronted bands and singers. So it's not for everybody, but it's what gets me excited. And for me personally, there's probably just as exciting as going to a wrestling show. For me, it's to go to a concert. I absolutely love going to concerts. I'm the kind of person that I like to go all the way into the front of the stage and just rock it out, party with the people in the front, and be part of it, feel the music. For me, to get pumped, oh, that's kind of hard. I'd say there's so many people. Someone that I'm really listening to a lot lately that not a lot of people may know is the girl named Kim Petras. So I've been listening to her a ton. She's been amazing. She gets me pumped. She gets me ready. I'm actually at the gym right now, and that's what I was listening to before I was talking to you guys.
Awesome. So we know you're a gamer. We know that you love music. What are some other things that people may not know about you that you want them to kind of – that you wish maybe they would know about you?
I'd just say I think a lot of people – can look on the outside and not know much about me. I think sometimes people may think I'm not a serious competitor based on my appearance. So that's something I want to prove to everyone this year. That's something that I want to show everyone. I want to show everyone all the hard work that I've been putting in that dojo and prove to them that I'm a lot tougher than I look, that pretty does hurt.
Awesome. Well, once again, we want to thank you so much for taking the time out. We know you're super busy. We always like to say here, we just barely scratched the surface on what is going on with Amy Rose. We would love to have you back in 2020. And again, just thank you so much. And we look forward to seeing everything that you've got going on in the future.
Perfect. Thank you.
Been scrolling on Twitter. I look around there every now and then, and I came across a nice little rumor on the interwebs for WrestleMania, gentlemen. Interwebs. And that rumor is they are talking about Undertaker versus AJ Styles for WrestleMania 36. I need to know your pros and cons on this, gentlemen. Is it going to be good? Is it going to be the shits? Now, granted, you got to remember, AJ Styles is one of the best workers in the world. He can have a good match with a broomstick. but a 390-pound broomstick. Let's just see your reactions on this, Cooter. What do you got?
I remember. I feel like that would be Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels Part 3. The one where the Undertaker had no hips left. That's how I feel about it. Like, it's hard for me to, even as great as AJ is, and as great of a veteran as Taker is, how much, I can't. It's not something I want to say. It doesn't interest me. Do I think AJ can make Undertaker look good? I think he can make him look okay. I think Undertaker is just too slow at this point in his career. And I don't think it's a match that benefits either of them. And quite frankly, I don't see it as something that's going to be built up properly unless we're going to see The Undertaker on TV on a regular basis to really build a program. Otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah. Now, you know, going off what you said, Cooter, man, if... he has to be on TV, and if you think about it, like you said, like they would always be like the show before WrestleMania. No, you got to put a few weeks into this. It can't just be, oh, I see you now. I'm wrestling like a little bit more, especially at this point of his career. And I think we talked about last week is that I think some of the rumors too was about maybe a possible Sting versus Taker match. If that's not happening at Super Showdown, if they that whatever, or could that happen at like WrestleMania? But with AJ Styles, man, I feel like at Taker's point of his career, the only match he should do should be against, like, The Fiend. He's your new supernatural wonder, right? So, if anything, you pass that torch and let him go out on it. Don't put it in AJ Styles because it's, I don't know, like, look at Roman Reigns. Love him or hate him, he's still the top wrestler. And, you know, he had a match with him and... I'm sure it was everybody's fault, but at the same time, I think it had a lot to do with The Undertaker. I don't know. I think, you know, AJ's going to have to slow himself down to keep up, and it's not going to be good if it does happen. Like I said, give me a nostalgic bump. Give me a Sting versus Taker, or give me a Fiend versus Taker, and that's it. I don't want any other matches. Like, stop. I mean, I don't know. It's just too much. I can't.
I think for AJ... it's a big match because of the name, The Undertaker.
Yeah.
And that if you don't look at the in-ring quality the Taker currently has, and you just look at the name, The Undertaker, a legend, versus AJ Styles, it's a big, big match. And it's a huge match for a guy like AJ who came from TNA, who was one of those guys that, you know, everybody that came from TNA got buried, and I think he's the only sole survivor besides Drew McIntyre. Well, Drew McIntyre never really technically came from TNA. He went to TNA. But then when you look at the in-ring quality that Taker might deliver, I mean, AJ can only do so much, I think. I think AJ would make him look good, but once again, AJ can only do so much. He's only one person. And God forbid he tries a Styles clash on Taker and Taker doesn't position his head correctly. That's Taker's fault right there.
Oof, yeah.
That's bad. Bad news.
Oh, man. And, you know, that's the thing, though. It's like, I almost feel like they kind of put this noise out there to see what the fans think about it before they make that horrible decision and stuff to where, you know, like I said, it's Taker is done. Like, you know, what else does he need to do? But I'll tell you what, if it does happen, let's just say it does happen, for AJ Styles, man, I'll tell you what, out of anybody else's past few years for WrestleMania matches, granted, he didn't have it for, you know, he had some top quality WrestleMania matches, you know what I mean? Like him versus Jericho, him versus Shane McMahon. Was it Shane McMahon? I mean, that was his first one, right? Yeah. Or was it Jericho?
The first one was Jericho.
But I mean, like, if you look at his WrestleMania matches, just those, I think he's had, like, a lot of standouts. And if it's Taker, it's another stamp for his passport, I guess, going around the world. So I hope it happens, though, like you said, man, from the interwebs. But, like I said, maybe they're just putting it out there, seeing what the fans think. Not as crazy. They're not going to get the crazy kind of comments as you would from, like, a Nyla Rose winning championship match kind of comments, but you still probably get something out there to understand what the audience wants. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, like I said, I don't think it's the best match for AJ in ring. I mean, but I think it's a best match. It's one of the best matches for him for, you know, name value and legacy.
No, yeah, for sure. Well, you know, by the time you guys hear this, we're having an NXT show happening this weekend. And then after that, on Thursday, February 27th, is going to be that Superstar Showdown where we're still going to get some matches going on for that. But it, more importantly, this weekend, it's NXT TakeOver Portland. No other WWE pay-per-view. So it's not like it's a part of the Rumble weekend or Mania weekends. It's kind of on their own now. So do you think anybody's going to move up to the main roster after this show? Or are we not going to get... Well, it doesn't really happen anymore, right? Just goes from NXT to whatever show. But do you think after this year, before we get into this whole pay-per-view, do you think like some of these matches could be some of these guys' last matches on the NXT brand? I mean, are we going to get like a... is it just going to happen in trades or what? I mean... the whole big thing about Raw after Mania was like, who's moving up, right? So if nobody's moving up, are they moving over?
Yeah.
All right.
Sure. How about I'll make the argument that I could see Undisputed Era going up as a cohesive unit. I think they're already, and I'll even because. Because even Roddy, when he was cutting a promo in the ring this week, that was the best promo of Roddy's NXT career. And it wasn't, to me anyway, cringeworthy, where it felt like he was trying to play heel. He actually sounded like a heel as opposed to forcing it. Like that, to me, if you rewatch that promo, that was the best of his career. And his in-ring work has always been solid.
Yeah.
But I think that all of them are ready. I don't really see too much left up there for an Adam Cole. I don't see it necessary for him to be there. Who's really left, you know, for him to fucking polish off?
And I heard Tommaso too doesn't even want to leave NXT. Like if he gets moved up, he's gonna quit, kind of thing. So if you just pass the championship onto him, kind of thing, and then. Boom, you got Tommaso Ciampa as the champion there, too. So, I mean, this could be kind of like the exit for some of the guys. That's why I wanted to kind of bring up before the whole pay-per-view. But before we get into the pay-per-view, one more question for you guys. Maybe, Mike, you can answer. I'm a Finn Balor fan. You're a Finn Balor fan. Now, I loved when they moved him down to NXT. I think he needed that. He needed just to get out of the spotlight right now so they don't ruin him like they're ruining other people, which is a whole other show. But putting Finn Balor on NXT was a smart move. If yes. Somebody does move up, like the Undisputed Era, do we see anybody moving over to NXT to kind of like do what Finn Balor is doing? Because, I mean, the whole tease with Charlotte and Rhea is kind of cool, but I don't see them putting Charlotte on there. But I don't know. Do you see anybody coming over?
I think the best person for them to put over there is Cedric Alexander. I think he needs to leave the main roster because we all saw the reports that Vince has nothing for him.
Oh,
and when Vince has nothing for you, that means you're just going to job out. You're either going to job out or he's going to forget that you're sitting in catering. And Cedric Alexander is an amazing in-ring talent. And if he's not being used on the main roster, let's send him down to NXT where he can be used.
I could see him in... because he went straight to 205 Live. He never had, like, a real NXT exposure. I mean, he might have been in a couple of episodes, but other than that, he was basically 205 Live when he started there. I could see him having great fucking matches with some of the talent down there.
Yeah. Well... I mean, it's just fun to think about because it bothers me, I guess, because I'm like, oh, you know, the Raw after Monday is going to be coming up in a few, not too long, and there's no, like, is there going to be that surprise factor anymore? So, I don't know, reaching too much down the road for it. We still are on the road to WrestleMania, but this weekend with Portland guys, just going over some of these matches real quick, if there's any that you really love, let me know, but Dakota Kai. I didn't think there was a problem with Dakota Kai. I liked her as that, you know, the little face when she came in, the little baby face. But now the whole heel turn, I don't know. I don't like heel Dakota. You like this? It's going to be a street fight with Tegan Knox, two probably the hottest women right now.
I don't mind. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I don't mind Dakota Kai as a heel. She needed something because she was too vanilla for me as a face. I hate using the word vanilla, but it was the truth. She was just too vanilla. There was just nothing going on there. She reminded me, I don't know why, but when I saw Dakota Kai, I thought Bailey. And I'm just like, she needed something. And she just did. She needed something. And I'm okay with this. I kind of want to see where they go with this street fight, if they can deliver in a street fight.
Yeah, should be cool. I mean, if you're going to use the word vanilla, I'm going to use the word chocolate pudding. She's
all right. You know what?
Fuck, she's too chocolate pudding for me.
I gotta say it because, you know, Mike took the words right out of my mouth. Almost. I want to say when it came to Dakota Kai and they're tearing her heel. I was like, oh god, it's gonna be Bailey 2.0 because if they got nothing for you, let's just make. But she pulled it off. Whereas when you look at Bailey, it's the most forced, unwanted fucking gimmick that they've pushed on her, and you can see it in her face. She hates going to work every week as that fucking heel with the short hair. She wants her Bailey buddies back. She wants to hug people.
Fuck you. Well, with that being said, guys, you know, you mentioned the Undisputed Era before, possibly on their way out, maybe with the foot out the door. The Bruiserweights, though, I'll tell you what, as fun as those vignettes were, as you know, I love Matt Riddle. Pete Dunne, though, man, he does not look happy with what he's doing. He looks like he's just going through the motions and, like, please make me that fucking badass again or something. But, I mean, it's been fun watching them. But if they win it, I think this could be, like, a nice little step to split them up and go one-on-one. A nice little one-on-one against Riddle and Pete Dunne would probably be cool from like, partners. But, I don't know, I think the Bruiserweights going to be the new champions walking out this weekend, guys. It's that gold.
Oh, my God.
And you know what? And now that I think about it, that would be Matt Riddle. Matt Riddle was a North American champion, right?
No.
So this would be his first championship if he does win it this weekend, opposed from a trophy. But, yeah, we'll see what happens. But
you know what he's going to do? He's going to fucking take a picture of that belt with broken up weed on there and post it on his fucking Twitter like a dumbass.
Well, bro, man. All right, well, the North American Championship, Keith Lee versus Donovan Dijakovic. Now, guys, we've seen this. I've seen it. Northeast Wrestling, guys, they've had them at least once or twice. I can't remember if they did a rematch, but Keith Lee, man, I remember when he was around with Dijakovic. They did, I think, a show in Bethany or Waterbury or Danbury, one of those. And unbelievable, man. These two guys going at it. I think this could be the match of the night this weekend because if nobody's seen these guys go at it one-on-one, then this is your chance to do it. But big on Keith Lee, guys. Is he going to be getting another boost out of this match? Because possibly leading him to a match during WrestleMania weekend or something for the NXT Championship. I know they're pretty big on Keith Lee, so.
I think Keith Lee is the next big thing in that company. And I knew it when he first came in. He just needed a moment. He finally got his moment. I think Donovan Dijakovic is another big man that's going to be the next big thing, too. It's just so difficult to choose between the two. Anytime those two are in the ring, it's like you see matches on Raw all the time where they do rematch after rematch, and you're just like, ugh, yep, this again. But when I see Donovan Dijakovic versus Keith Lee over and over again, I'm just like, all right, I'm tuned in right now.
Yep.
I'm ready to go. They're going to top the first match. They're going to top the second match. Those guys always deliver for me, so I am okay with this match. I think this is my match of the night, too.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to say the thing that I love about these two chemistry is you don't see the same match every time they have it.
Yep.
You know what I mean? I mean, they might have, you know, similar spots here and there, but for the most part, they're just both so versatile that they just fucking tear the house down differently every single time. Unlike somebody like a Bayley or a Sasha Banks, who arguably have one of the greatest female matches of all time in Brooklyn. But when you saw that match between the two of them on Raw a few years later, it was almost the identical match.
Yeah.
And I called that shit out. Bitches are whack. But Keith Lee and Donovan Dijakovic or whatever the fuck his name is, they know how it's done.
Yeah, man, for sure. Definitely going to be one of the great matches of that week. You know, they need to just call him Dijak. That's what it was, everybody called him on the indies. I hate this whole big name, just Dijak. Bring that back. Bring it back fast. You know, Finn Balor, we mentioned before, Johnny Gargano. It could be another match of the night contender. I mean, I want to see these guys do a lot more together. And this is what happened with the whole shocking Balor heel turn. That's when he did the whole Pele kick to the back of or to the face of Gargano. So it has a little bit of story in there too. But I don't know. I want to see Finn Balor. I want to see, because what's going on with this Prince thing? You know, I mean, is he can't say Prince Devitt? Was he going to call himself that, or is it just like the Prince Finn Balor kind of thing? Add into that whole name, but I don't know. I want to see the body paint, man. I want to see him go back to his old ways. That's what really made me a fan of him. Just there was something different, but it should be a good match.
I want to see the demon. I'm ready to see the demon.
Different paint too. Different. It's got to be different, right?
I want to see. Yeah, I don't want to see the Demon King from the main roster. I just want to see Finn Balor, the demon, or if he's not going to be the demon, but he's going to do the face paint, I want to see something. Yeah. I just want to see something different. You want to be the prince? You call yourself the prince? Fine, come out with face paint. I don't care if it's fucking, you look like Prince, like Prince the singer. I don't care. I just want to see fucking face paint.
Oh, man. It's going to be a great match. What else is happening, though? You mentioned women, too. So that brings up the NXT Championship match between Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair. See what I did there? I didn't have to say it was the women's NXT Championship match. It's the NXT Championship match.
I automatically knew exactly what you were talking about.
Between Rhea and, which was so funny, because when that all came out, literally the next week on Raw, they just called it the NXT Women's Championship. Then I'm like, wait a minute. Didn't we just not do, whatever. But Rhea Ripley, man, I'll tell you what right now, if this is, she either loses it now or loses it Mania weekend or at Mania. Oh, well, you know what? No. If, now that I think about it, no, yeah, this, I think as much as Bianca Belair probably deserves the women's championship over there, I think Rhea is going to hold on to it, but is it going to be the match where Charlotte Flair, will it lead to that? Will she win the NXT women's championship, or is it kind of just keep it on Rhea and push her?
I think they're leading to the triple threat at Mania with Bianca Belair, Charlotte, and Rhea Ripley. Because I mentioned this the last time I was on the show where we kind of talked about how Charlotte might be, either whether she's going to wrestle a guy or go down to NXT. That was the rumor. And I said I have my problem with it because they're overshadowing Bianca Belair, who Bianca Belair has grown on me. And I love the fact that they're playing that storyline where, like, they're just kind of, both of them are seeing through Bianca Belair as if she's just an afterthought. You want to know something? I hope Bianca Belair wins the title this weekend. And I hope she forces a triple threat at Mania. That's what I want to see. If I had the pencil in my hand, that's what I would book. Because you have both, you have Rhea Ripley, who's paying more attention to Charlotte, and Bianca Belair is just in the corner doing nothing, or not doing nothing, just trying to get their attention. That's what I want to see. I want to see Bianca Belair win the title this weekend.
Turn your mic on.
You know, Mike, that would probably be even a better, that'd be a better match than last year's WrestleMania main event. I think with Charlotte and Rhea and Bianca, I think are better wrestlers than Becky and Ronda. So, I mean, I think that triple threat match would probably be a better match, too.
Oh, exactly.
My only issue with Rhea, who has, you know, just had a great 2019 last year, winning the title, she can't cut a promo. She can't cut a promo. That is just so important to building feuds and everything. Where, and ever since she's had that title, all she fucking does is smile. I want that badass bitch back who walked out with an attitude and slapped bitches and said, "Hey, listen, you can't beat me, and fucking let's do this."
Yeah.
I can't.
No, I hear you with that too. And you know, sometimes it's like, I know WWE wants everybody to talk, and they want them to talk however long and whatever, but at the same time, not everybody's going to be the next great promo talker, right? So it's like, give them something little to say, like a saying, a catchphrase, or whatever. Beat somebody up, make her that badass. Yeah, I agree with you too. Like, we don't want to start smiling like, what's his name, just happy to be here every week, and remember that guy? Yeah, we all remember that guy, Jason Jordan. But you know, yeah, it's give her. See, you didn't know that guy until I said it. So, but no, I mean, she doesn't bother me that much about it. But at the same time, yes, I think it's like make less is more kind of thing. Give her some sayings to do and just beat up people or something. Like, what is she? How is she going to be this badass? Like, what is her thing? You know, are they going to make her that good guy badass like Roman Reigns, where you don't beat up anybody? You just, you know, it's like, it's only certain people, or maybe it's just got to fine tune it a little bit. But I think it'll still be a unique matchup no matter what happens out of that. So, Mike, we think the titles could change hands this weekend.
I hope it does.
But how about Adam Cole, man? The guy who probably was the wrestler of the year for 2019 for all the shows he did, covering for people on SmackDown when their planes didn't land from Saudi Arabia. Just all around, man, everything. I think he had a phenomenal year and just a phenomenal time as NXT champion. Mike, he hasn't lost that championship since we saw that show, has he? Or
no, yeah. He has not lost that title yet.
So since we won it, he's had it. So, wow, that's crazy to think about. He's had a good reign, a great reign. So if he loses it, it doesn't bother me. And I think you guys would be right that the Undisputed Era could be making their way over to another show.
Oh, God, that's one of my favorite episodes, Credo.
What's that?
Was when you guys were on your way up there to NXT.
Oh.
And you called me while I was at work. It was one of the funniest phone calls ever.
I tried to bet that you would curse something at us.
That's right. You were betting that I was going to be like, "What the fuck do you want?" or something.
Mike, do you think we could put that photo of us on the Patreon account and try to get like $75 off? Cooter, did you see
photo of what?
Do not show him, Mike. This is a bond between us. It's the only thing we have that can like. Cooter, you have to subscribe.
Fuck all that. Somebody better show me this fucking picture.
I honestly don't even think I have the photo anymore.
I don't know where it is. Yeah, I don't know. I think I have to.
What is it a picture of?
It's a picture of me and him. And it's
you know what? Just stop right there.
It's us in the stands of NXT.
What you guys do in the car on your way to NXT is your own business.
All right, let me get more filler.
After you call me, fine, whatever. Just leave me out of your little, you know, situation.
It's us in the stands. For more clarification. But there's nobody else in the stands, and it's just us, and I am fucking huge. I look like a fucking giant sitting
here. Wait a minute.
Next
to
Mike.
Are you
the worst.
To tell me
this
that
is not a default. It's we laughed our ass off, and then we're like, we're never going to post this anywhere kind of
thing. Granted, yes, I'm going to save you the joke, Scooter. I look like a child, okay? I look like a child, okay? And then compared to, I don't know if it was the angle that we were sitting at,
yeah,
whatever it was.
So I think whoever took it was a
the way the angle of the picture was made me look like a little child, and Credo like a monster.
I just remember seeing it, and like I couldn't breathe when I saw it in the stands, and I was like, this is the most ridiculous photo I'm never posing anywhere.
The first thing he says to me too, like, he gets the picture, he shows me, he's like, "Don't show Cooter."
After you guys called me up and break my balls for fucking 20 minutes.
I said that because I know we will see that photo every day for the rest of our lives, Michael. So I'm like, let's not show it to him yet.
Fucking photo, Mike.
We could build on this now. We could build on this.
We
could build on this.
We can negotiate.
I got to see if I even have it. So.
I don't know if I texted you it or I don't know if I sent it on Facebook. But
I will torture you with that every day, Credo. Remember that podcast that you had me do with those boys from thatspodcasting.com?
Yeah.
So go to www.thatspodcasting.com for the Eliminated Royal Rumble podcast. I don't remember which Rumble we did. I think it was the one that Brock won. So it was the one leading up to WrestleMania 19.
2003.
Yes, that was the one. Yeah, so go over there, check that out. It's dropping on Sunday.
Nice. Awesome, guys. Well, yeah, man.
Get a double dose of the angry one this week.
Always angry. Always angry.
Whatever. I'm out of here, ladies and gentlemen. Have a good week. Don't tug your peckers and all that other bullshit. Peace, bitches.